Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a podcast from Israel. This is Johanna. I'm your reader today. Today is Thursday, February the 8th, and that is the 23rd day of the Hebrew month of Shvat. Today in history is traditionally the date when the tribes of Israel go to war with the tribe of Benjamin, and that's the story that we read in Judges 19 and 20. This week, we are in a Torah portion called Mishpatim, which means judgments, and today's portion from the Torah is Exodus 23:6-19. Before we begin to read, let's bless the Lord for giving us His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. You are not to pervert justice to your poor in his dispute. Stay far away from a false charge. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify the guilty. Take no bribe, for a bribe blinds those who have sight and perverts the words of the righteous. Do not oppress an outsider, for you know the heart of an outsider, since you were outsiders in the land of Egypt. For 6 years you are to sow your land and gather the increase, but during the 7th year you are to let it rest and lie fallow, so that the poor among your people may eat. Whatever they leave behind, the animals of the field may eat. You are to deal with your vineyard and your olive grove in the same way. You are to do your work for 6 days, but on the 7th day you will rest, so that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and also the son of your handmaid and the outsider may be refreshed. With all the things that I have said to you, take heed. Make no mention of the names of other gods, and do not let them be heard in your mouth. 3 times in the year you are to celebrate a festival for me. You are to observe the feast of Matzot. For 7 days you will eat Matzot as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month Aviv, for that is when you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Also you are to observe the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors that you sow in the field, as well as the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather your crops from the field. 3 times in the year, all your men are to appear before Adonai Elohim. Do not offer the blood of my sacrifice with chametz, nor is the fat of my feast to remain out all night until the morning. Bring the choicest first fruits of your land into the house of Adonai your God. Do not boil a kid in its mother's milk. That was Exodus 23:6-19. And today's portion from the prophets is 2 Kings chapter 9. Then Elisha the prophet summoned one of the sons of the prophets and told him, "Strap up your cloak, take this flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive there, look out there for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. Then go in, get him to rise up from among his fellows, and bring him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says Adonai, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee. Don't wait around." So the young man, a young prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. Now when he arrived, behold, the army commanders were sitting. So he said, "I have a word for you, commander." Jehu asked, "For which one of us?" He replied, "For you, commander." Then he rose and went inside the house, and the prophet poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Thus says Adonai, God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of Adonai, over Israel. So you will strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Adonai shed by Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab will perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male, slave or free, in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasa, son of Ahijah. The dogs will eat Jezebel in the field of Jezreel, and there will be none to bury her. Then he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came out to the officers of his master, and one asked him, "Is everything all right? Why did this crazy fellow come to you?" He said to them, "You know the man and his babbling." But they said, "It's a lie. Tell us now." So he said, "He said something like this to me, saying, 'Thus says Adonai, I have anointed you king over Israel.'" Then they hurried, and every man took his garment and put it under him or on the bare steps, and blew the shofar, saying, "Jehu is king." So Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, against King Hazael of Aram. But Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought with King Hazael of Aram. Then Jehu said, "If this is your wish, then let no one escape and go out of the city to go to tell the news in Jezreel." So Jehu mounted a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was lying there. Meanwhile, King Ahaziah of Judah came down to see Joram. Now the watchman stationed on the tower of Jezreel saw Jehu's troop approaching and said, "I'm seeing a troop." Then Joram said, "Take a horseman and dispatch him to meet them, and let him ask, 'Is it peace?'" So the horse rider went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" But Jehu said, "What do you have to do with peace? Turn behind me." So the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger reached them, but didn't come back." Then he dispatched out another horseman, who went to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" But Jehu answered, "What do you have to do with peace? Turn behind me." So the watchman reported, saying, "He reached them, but didn't come back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, son of Nimshi, for he is driving on like a maniac." Then Joram ordered, "Hitch up the chariot." So he hitched up his chariot. Then King Joram of Israel and King Ahaziah of Judah went out each in his chariot to meet Jehu, and found him at the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now when Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace, so long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" So Joram turned his horses around and fled, crying out to Ahaziah, "Treason, Ahaziah!" But Jehu drew his bow with his full strength and shot Joram between his arms, and the arrow went out through his heart, and he collapsed in his chariot. Then he said to Bidkar his aide, "Pick him up and throw him on the property of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. Remember how you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, when Adonai took up this burden against him. As surely as I have seen the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons yesterday, it is a declaration of Adonai. I will repay you on this property. It is a declaration of Adonai. So now pick him up and throw him onto the property, just as the word, as in the word of Adonai." When King Ahaziah of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. But Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him too." They shot him in the chariot at Gur Pas near Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo, but he died there. Then his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. Ahaziah had become king over Judah in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab. Now when Jehu arrived at Jezreel, Jezebel heard about it. So she painted her eyes and dressed her hair and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, your master's assassin?" Then he lifted up his face to the window and called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down toward him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. Then her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled her. Then he went inside, ate and drank. Then he said, "Attend now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." But when they went out to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. So they came back and told him. He said, "This is the word of Adonai, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'In the field of Jezreel will the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel will be as dung upon the face of the field in the property of Jezreel, so that they will not say, "This was Jezebel."'" That was 2 Kings chapter 9. And today's portion from the writings is Psalm 132 and through 134. A Song of Ascents. Adonai, remember David, all his afflictions, and how he swore to Adonai, vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "I will not enter the tent of my house, nor lie on my bed, nor will I give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for Adonai, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of Joar. Let us go into his dwelling place. Let us bow at his footstool. Arise, Adonai, to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your Kohanim wear righteousness, and let your godly ones sing for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed." Adonai has sworn to David a true promise he will not revoke. "From the fruit of your body, I will set one upon your throne. If your children keep my covenant and my law that I will teach them, for then their sons will sit on your throne forever. For Adonai has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever. Here I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her food. I will satisfy her needy ones with bread. I will clothe her Kohanim with salvation, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There will I make a horn spring up for David. I have set up a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown will shine." A Song of Ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, Aaron's beard, coming down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there Adonai commanded the blessing, life forevermore. A Song of Ascents. Behold, bless Adonai, all servants of Adonai, who stand by night in the house of Adonai. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless Adonai. May Adonai bless you out of Zion, maker of heaven and earth. Well, that was Psalms 132, 133, and 134. And now for our final portion today, we'll turn to John chapter 9. As Yeshua was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind since birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Yeshua answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the works of God might be brought to light in him. We must do the work of the one who sent me, so long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went away, washed, and came back seeing. Therefore his neighbors and those who had seen him as a beggar kept saying, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" "This is the one," some said. "No, but it looks like him," said others. But the man himself kept saying, "I am." So they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Yeshua made mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and then I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They bring to the Pharisees the man who once was blind. Now the day was Shabbat when Yeshua made the mud and opened the man's eyes. So again the Pharisees were asking him how he received his sight. He responded, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." So some of the Pharisees began saying, "This man isn't from God because he doesn't keep Shabbat." But others were saying, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So there was a split among them. Again they say to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." So the Judean leaders didn't believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They questioned them, "Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? And how does he see now?" Then his parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We don't know how he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's old enough, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Judean leaders. For the Judean leaders had already agreed that anyone who professed Yeshua to be Messiah would be thrown out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He's old enough, ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The man replied, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see." So they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" "I told you already, and you didn't listen," the man responded. "What, do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you?" They railed at him and said, "You're a disciple of that one, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he is from." The man replied to them, "That's amazing. You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone fears him and does his will, he hears this one. Since the beginning of the world, no one has ever heard that anyone has opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything." They replied to him, "You were born completely in sin, and you're teaching us?" And they threw him out. Yeshua heard that they had thrown him out. Finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir, Tell me so that I may believe in him. Yeshua said, You have seen him. He is the one speaking with you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Yeshua said, For judgment I came into this world, so that those who don't see may see, and the ones who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, We are not blind too, are we? Yeshua said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, so your sin remains. That was John chapter 9, and that is the end of our readings for today. I pray that God's word will go deep into your heart and bless you throughout the rest of this day. This is Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next time.